people, you can raise your hand, like to run around, just kind of run. All right, there's several people who like to run. How many of you know something about soldiers? Anybody know something about soldiers? Why do you know something about soldiers? How many of you like to fish? Anybody like to fish around here? You don't raise your hand yet for anything. Okay, and how many of you like to farm? Anybody? Farmer, future farmers of America? Not too many. We got to work on that part, future farmers. There's one back there. Okay. So really, there's a lot of things that God has given to us as aspects of all these things. Runners and soldiers and farmers and fishermen. There's a lot of things that help us understand what the Christian life is all about. So we're going to look at one of those comparisons. And the one that we're going to try to bring to our attention, if I can turn this thing on and make it work, is the idea of going down a road. Going down a road. Okay? Now, what did Jesus say about how many roads there were? How many roads did Jesus say there was? You're either on one or the other, so that means how many? Two. Okay, there's one road, the narrow road. What's the other road? The wide, broad road. But you know, about 700 years before Jesus told us about the two different roads, Isaiah, the prophet, was inspired by God to also tell us about the narrow road, although he used a little different language. He said a highway will be there, a roadway. It'll be called the highway of holiness. So that narrow road that leads to heaven is described as a highway of holiness. This is where holiness means without sin. And so as we travel down that road toward heaven, God wants us to be pure and holy, separate from sin. Now, back in the days of the Bible characters, they either walked on the road, they were a beast of burden, or maybe they were being carried by a cart with an animal like a donkey or a horse carrying it. Now, how do we usually get around today on our roads? How do we usually get around? A car. Yeah, we get in those cars and we kind of drive. That's the way we go down our roads. And there's a lot of people in this room who know a lot about driving. And we're going to think a little bit about driving today. I know quite a bit about driving also. I've devoted 33 years of my life doing this. I have no nerves left whatsoever. They're all shot. But nevertheless, this is what I did for a long time. So I think I know quite a bit about it. But not every one of my students looked as happy as this young lady over here. More of them looked kind of like this over here. Although I wasn't a mean-looking guy. Like this particular character over here, I was more of, you know, gentle, kind, and kind of a compassionate type of person. And so we're going to think a little bit. We're going to stop for just a few minutes tonight. Think about, you know, driving and the life of a Christian. Because there's a lot that we can kind of think about as we pursue our way on that highway holiness. So I need the help over here of some of our younger people, and you guys are usually hungry, and so I want to ask you a question. How can this teenage driver in the blue car, what's the fastest way he can get to Burger King up there? What road ought he take? Fast food lane. If he goes on fast food lane, he'll get himself right where he wants to be. And most of you who live in Columbia for a good part of your life, you know all where to go and how to get there. But you're going to be getting into other places. You're going to be getting into towns and places where you're going to need a map to try to figure out, you know, how do I get from here to there? And so sometimes it's a little bit more complicated than just going where you need to go. But before you can even drive, you've got to have something in your wallet or a purse. What do you have to have? Well, you got to have money. You got to pay for gas, right? But even before you have the money, what do you have, Sam? You got to have a driver's license, exactly. And in the state of Tennessee, it looks something like that. I don't know, the way we're going, some of you might not get a driver's license. But anyway, you've got to have that driver's license. Before you can get the driver's license, you got to know something. You got to know what? You've got to know the rules. How many of you have ever seen this book? Have you seen these books before? Yeah, this is Tennessee Driver Handbook. It's got all the rules so that you can know what to do when you are driving. And so, yeah, it's important. important. You got to do this. Then you can go down to a place called the DMV, and you really what you want to do is get your name recorded on the computers in the DMV. I've had a lot of students come back to me after I taught them, and they would hold up their lights and say, "Mr. C, Mr. C." They called me Mr. C because they couldn't pronounce my name. And so they come over there and they show me their license, a big smile. I pat them on the face, and they just go on their way smiling and be real happy. I tell them, "Good job, you did what you needed to do." But you know, when we talk about getting to heaven on that highway of holiness to heaven, we also have to have our names recorded someplace. It's not going to be at the DMV, but God tells us there's a Lamb's Book of Life, in which we need to have our names recorded before we can get on and be on that narrow road, that highway of holiness. And so we're told to be happy, rejoice. When you become a Christian, your names are recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life, and your names are recorded in heaven. So we're going to be thinking about getting on those roads and things that are necessary. Now, we know rules of the road. We've got to know those things to drive safely on Tennessee roads. However, to get on the highway of holiness and to reach our destination, which is heaven, the Bible is going to be the rules of the narrow road which leads to life. The Bible is also our map. It's our guide which takes us right where we want to go. So that's what we really need to know if we're going to be on that highway of holiness, which is going to take us to everlasting life. So we're going to look at some of these things right now. And I've got a sign over here. I told Brother Boland that he's responsible. If nobody knows these signs, I'm going to call on him to explain what these signs are. So does any of the young men know what this sign means right over here? Jonathan, you ever seen this sign before? You know what it is? There's another road going that way. It starts with an M. What does that sign mean? We're in trouble here, folks. Yeah, this is the merge sign, okay? This is a sign that you've got to know about. Where there's two roads coming together. For example, all those cars that are on that big road, they had to get out someplace. Now, I'm not showing it over here, but there would have been a road that would have merged them onto it. And if they want to get off and get onto this blue road with the blue shoulder lines over here, they're going to go around on that circular interchange, and they're going to merge again and get onto that particular lane. So that's a merge. And here we have these three cars are in position so they can do that particular merging. And so, yeah, that's the purpose of this sign over here. But God has told us that there are two roads. And one road is that broad, easy road which leads to destruction. And we already mentioned the other one is called the what? The narrow road which leads to life. And Jesus told us about this road. It's also called the highway of holiness in prophecy. But Jesus said to enter by that narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is broad. Some versions say the way is easy. It's easy just to live any way you want to live and do what you want to do. That's the easy way, but it's also the way that leads to hellfire and destruction. And there's a lot of people who are on that road. But the Bible says the gate is small and the way is narrow, which leads to life, and few there are that find that road. And so as we contemplate, I want to get on that narrow road. I want to get off the broad road that leads to destruction. There's only one way to get on, just as there's only one way to get on and off, you know, different interchanges and things that we have. The one way is, of course, Jesus. He says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." So he's the way. And since he's the way, we need to learn about Jesus. That's why you spent all this time coming here. That's why your parents are teaching you, so you can get faith and understand who Jesus is. And you make that decision at some point in time in your life. I'm going to follow him all the way. And Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the one who has come to give you everlasting life, unless you believe, you're going to die in your sins. What comes next after believing? What's the next thing we've got to do? Well, that's going to be next. It starts with an R. What's sin? repent. Exactly. And so we're told by Jesus also, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We continue on that road to destruction unless we repent. Repentance is so important because that sin has separated us. We've all, at some point in time, we've sinned. We lose our fellowship with God. We fall short. And for us to get back with God, we need to turn away from those things, not live our life our own way anymore. Then comes the confession that He is the Christ, the Son of God. Yeah, with the heart we believe, but with the mouth, we make that good confession that He is the Christ, the Son of God. What's the last thing we've got to do to merge onto that narrow road which leads to life? What's the last thing we need to do? We have to be baptized, right, Tristan? We have to be baptized. Jesus said very simply, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So when we do this, we can get off that broad, easy road to destruction. We can begin merging on to that narrow road, that highway of holiness. All right, we're going to be looking at different aspects of that. We've got another sign over here. Do you know this one, Sam? A no U-turn. Now, I want everybody to think about what we just talked about. How might this sign kind of fit into our lesson? You got an idea? You can't turn back. Once you follow Jesus, there's no U-turn. Arnie's ought to be real proud of you right now. You got the right answer there. So, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here. Once we put our hand to the plow, now we might even say, you know, we're talking about the wheel or tractor or whatever it is, but Jesus says you start this thing, you finish it. You don't look back. You put your hand on the plow, don't look back to the old ways of the world. And so when people are thinking about being a Christian, they have to know these things. It's a very serious step that we all have to take. And so we have to count the cost before we start. You know, are you willing to really repent of your sins? I talked to a person just recently who understood, yeah, I know I got to repent, but I don't want to. I don't want to give up this thing that I'm doing. I'm enjoying the buzz that I get too much from the drinking and the things that I'm doing. I just don't want to give that thing up. And they're having a hard, hard time there. But you can't go any further unless you do that. You've got to count the cost. Am I willing to? Am I willing to allow my life to be transformed into a new life? Am I willing to maybe cause some of my friends to, you know, wonder why I'm doing this, and they may not be my friends anymore. And so there's a lot of things to kind of consider as we make these decisions. But certainly it's going to be worth it. All the abundant rewards and blessings, the good life we can have here, and the better life we can have later in heaven. All right, got another sign over here. Who thinks they know that besides Sam? Sam knows all the answers. What about some of these guys over here? Anybody else want to tell me what this sign might mean? Kristen, any idea? You gotta know what the sign means. How about some of the adults? Slippery when wet. I thought you were gonna say swervy road. I was gonna discipline you if you said swervy road. But it is a slippery when wet sign, exactly. It means the road, if it's wet, the type of pavement could be a lot slipperier than other types of pavement. Who knows what this sign means? What does this sign mean? No big trucks going down the hill. Oh, did you say hill? Well, you were right with the hill. If that's what you said. This is not any ordinary hill. This is a steep hill. You're on the interstate. You'll see these by Chattanooga, don't you? They're pretty good-sized hills over there. Here's another one. What does this sign mean? Swervy road. We can call it a winding road, a swervy road, whatever you want to call it over there. And brown and white signs. Does anybody know what the purpose of brown and white signs are? I know the girls know, but they're not supposed to talk, so what do you got here, Sam? Exactly. Tourist attractions, parks, recreation areas, Henry Horton State Park, Fall Creek Falls, Rocky Mountain. So you see these kind of signs when you go on vacation, don't you? And these are the good kind of signs. And so we see these signs all around America as we travel about. They warn us of important things that we need to see and know about. And likewise, on the highway toward heaven, that highway of holiness that we're headed toward,
never said it was a straight road. He said the gate was straight. Now, the way is narrow, but the way is going to be full of slippery places. You're going to have downhills. You're going to have hills you have to climb in your life. You're going to have, you know, curves that are going to come your way, but you're also going to have many blessings, like the park and recreation. You're going to have an abundant life of good things because you are a Christian. The peace, the joy, the fellowship of brothers and sisters, the good times that you can have. Plus, you have heaven. So it's certainly the highway of holiness is the right way to go. And so we're going to be looking at what can happen on the highway of holiness. Now, does every car always stay on the road? No. Cars don't always stay on the road. Sometimes something happens where we have what we could call a collision. We're not supposed to call it an accident because that means it just kind of happened. It wasn't anybody's fault. The technical word for this is not an accident. It's a collision, okay, which means there is some responsibility. But anyway, this happens from time to time. Does this person need any help right now? Yeah, he can't do anything by himself. He may see one of these signs, which means what? You might not know what that is. We don't have those anymore, do we? You're more familiar with this, right? That one was what? A phone thing up there somewhere, right? Okay, we don't need to phone things too much. Almost everybody's got one of these. This is a little freebie right now. Does anybody know what the roadside emergency number is? And I'm going to tell you, it's not 911 in the state of Tennessee. Any of you boys know what it is? Nope. That's traffic information. Anybody? How about the adults? How many of you adults? Raise your hand. You know what the emergency thing is. Landon, what is it? Which is also *847, okay? So, if you ever need any roadside assistance, you call that and you can get some help. But what happens if we spiritually crash? And when we spiritually crash, what we're really looking at is we sin against God. We're no longer on the highway of holiness. We've gone off and we've crashed. What do we do there? Well, we've got to also make a call. And we call to the Father in heaven in prayer, asking for forgiveness of our sins. And he says he will. He'll get us back up on that road again so that we can continue on our journey. So we're going to be looking at a variety of these kinds of things as we go along. What we're going to do right now is look at 5 seeing habits for safe driving. And as I list these over here, aim high and steering, get the big picture, keep your eyes moving, make sure they see you, leave yourself and out. How many of you adults have ever heard of this before? Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Okay, several of you, maybe 10%. We need a little higher than that in Tennessee, but that's pretty good. What we have here is something that was developed in the 50s, which kind of encompasses a lot of things. If you understand this and you practice this, in a lot of ways you'll be a safer driver. So what I'm going to do is talk about some of these things and make the spiritual application. So the first one we're going to look at is the idea of aim high and steering. Al, you raised your hand, so what do you think that means? Yeah, you're not looking down right at the road in front of you, but you're looking further out. Now, when I was practicing with Jayla not too long ago, her father kept telling me, I want to warn you about Jayla, because I practiced with her a little bit, giving her some driving lessons, and he said, you know, she has a kind of a tendency to move around a little bit, and he was kind of warning me about that, and I said, don't worry, Jalen, we'll get that straight. And we did, right? And what I told Jalen to do was you look way up the middle of your lane, and what happens if the car starts moving a little bit, your peripheral vision is going to catch it, and you'll be able to make that correction. Once you get used to doing that, the car's not going to be drifting so much. So you get that out of there because your vision is way up there. So that helps keep the car tracking where it needs to be tracking. Now, spiritually speaking, do we need to be aiming high? We need to be aiming high because we're on this highway of holiness, and where we should be aiming, of course, is heaven. And we're going to be fixing our eyes way up there, thinking about Jesus, his life, and his everything that he's taught us, and this is going to be our fixation. We're going to be thinking about Jesus. He'll keep us on that road. We're also quoted in Scripture that we reach forward to what lies ahead, way up there, pressing on toward the goal keep you where you need to be. We take our eyes off of Jesus and our eyes off of heaven. We find ourselves drifting off and running off the road, sinning and getting into trouble. So that's aim high and steering. All right, hopefully you memorized all five of those. I'm going to give you some of the words. Get the big what? Picture, okay? So we see over here the next one is get the big picture. Now what this is pretty much having an understanding of the driving scene that's out there. For example, you're driving along and you're coming to a four-way stop and there's another car coming over there. You're realizing, well, we're going to get there at the same time. Who's going to go first? You know the rules of the road. You know the laws of who's got the right of way. Or, for example, you have strategies out there. You see brake lights up ahead of you over a hill. You're wondering, well, what's going on? Well, that's part of getting the big picture. I better be slowing down a little bit. And so in order to really get the big picture, you have to have a knowledge of the rules of the road and a knowledge of strategies for driving so you can really see and digest and do the things you need to be doing. And so that's part of getting the big picture. Spiritually, we also have to have the big picture. And the only way we get the big picture about what life is all about as we're on that highway of holiness is by studying God's Word. That gives us insights and understanding how to treat other roadway users, so to speak, who are also going on the road to heaven. It gives us insights into what the God's rules of the road really are. And so that's part of what this is all about, studying, knowing what we need to do so we can stay on that road. We're getting the overall picture of God's Word and how it relates to us. Okay, the third one, we got aim high and steering, get the big picture. Keep your eyes what? Keep your eyes on the road. I'm going to call it keep your eyes actually moving. Okay, not only just on the road, but your eyes have got to be going everywhere. You just can't be staring straight ahead. Your eyes have got to be moving. You've got to be checking those mirrors. So you're really keeping alert. Your attention is there, and you're seeing the things that are actually out there. So you're keeping your eyes moving. Now, the opposite of keeping your eyes moving is, the inattentive or the distracted driver who's got so many things going on. Who can tell me what is probably the number one new distraction in driving? What is that? Texting. Okay, I think you got it right on the head. It's cell phone uses, but the worst thing is that texting. We've got laws against it, and we've got all kinds of statistics that are coming out showing this is really bad stuff. 80% of our serious accidents and fatalities are because of distracted drivers, and this is the number one culprit. So if any of you out here are doing this, you better stop. First of all, it's against God's law, because it's the law of our land. We have to obey the laws of the land. It's very, very dangerous. You might be thinking, I've done it and had no problems with it. Well, a lot of people have done it and had no problems until they crash and kill somebody or kill themselves. So this is really, really dangerous distraction. There's a whole lot of other things. I'm sure none of the ladies here have ever done any of this, but certainly that does happen. It's in makeup. Yeah, it could be ugly if you hit that car in front of her, couldn't it? Might not look that good. And of course, other things inside the car, distractions outside the car. And so, what are the consequences of distracted driving? Obviously, the consequences are you lose control of the car and you're all over the place, you hit something. And so, yeah, it's a terrible thing. And as far as spiritually speaking, I want to make an application spiritually in the sense that we need to be alert and paying attention to what's out there so that we can be helping other people. For example, another Christian, not literally having car trouble, but let's say, he has sinned or she has sinned. Are you alert and paying attention to notice that maybe you can, in a gentle way, help that person? Or maybe a person's got some emotional distress or physical anxieties or some sickness, need some visiting, or a variety of things that we can do. We need to be alert. We need to keep our eyes open so we can see who is having difficulties as we're driving along on the road of life. Don't be inattentive, but be attentive to one another, brothers and sisters. So certainly we see that we have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. We're looking out for one another. We're paying attention. Now, we can't do everything for everybody. We had a long list of announcements this morning. It's impossible for us to be able to attend to all of those needs, but certainly we can do some of those things and try to visit people or be encouragement, give them a call, do some of the kinds of things that we need to do. So if we're really on the highway of holiness, we're going to be paying attention and looking at ways in which we can be helping our fellow Christians as they move along on the road of life. Okay, the next one is make sure they see you. Who's the they? All right, say that to you again. Other Christians, but in the driving aspect, it's going to be other roadway users. Okay, so this is point number four for safe driving. You're out there, but you're never alone, hardly. And so you want to make sure others know you are there. And there's a lot of things you can do. The most common thing is what? Beep the horn, okay? Get their attention. What else can you do? Flash the lights, put your turn signals on. Now, here's a variety of things you can do. If you're at an intersection, there's a pedestrian standing there. You can wave them on across, you know, communicate a little bit. So you want to make sure others know you're there, even the position of your vehicle. You want to make the right turn already, get on an angle a little bit. You're giving a communication. You're making sure people know what you're doing. And this is real important so that we don't have accidents and problems. Now, the spiritual application of this is that people are going to see you as a Christian on the highway of holiness. They're going to see you driving down the narrow road which leads to life. You can't stop them from noticing you, and you need to be the light of the world. You need to let your light shine in such a way as others can see, you know, your good works. And maybe they'll want to be also on that road. You might be able to influence them by the good things that you are doing. But we have to also be careful that we're not tooting our own what? What's the expression? Tooting our own? Has anybody ever heard of horn? That means bragging or boasting. Oh, look what I have done. And we don't want to draw that kind of attention to us. We want to have that humility that we should have. So in a quiet, humble way, we try to let our light shine. And you young people, you're doing a great job so far. Keep it up. Be the kind of example that is going to be good and positive for all of your friends to see. So let's make sure they see you. So far we've got aim high and staring, get the big picture, keep your eyes moving, make sure they see you. And let's see if you remember the last one. Leave yourself a what? Out. Okay. Leave yourself an out. What's an out? You got any idea? Another way. Leave yourself another way. That's right. It's an escape. Okay? We may have driving situations where we have to be, you know, ready to do something to avoid an accident. That's leaving yourself a way out. We look at this situation right over here. We've got a purple car. Looks like it's kind of moving into the yellow car's lane because perhaps those girls who are not paying attention, he sees they're not looking, so he's moving over. The yellow car's a little bit concerned about this. What can the yellow car do? Can he swerve to the right? Wouldn't be a good idea here, would it? He'd be running over that jogger. And so, you know, probably just holding his position, braking hard, and holding is, you know, the best thing he can maybe do. Hopefully the separation of things will occur and he'll be okay. So you have to brake and hold. Sometimes you brake and swerve. Sometimes you slow down. Sometimes you will speed up a little bit. But we need to be thinking about that as we drive, especially on these hills in Tennessee. When I moved down here, I couldn't believe, you know, how steep the shoulders were and how close the telephone poles were. And there's some roads around here that are, you know, they give all the auto body shops, the collision shops, a lot of business, like Duplex and Beechcroft and a few others. watches his way, preserves his life. So yes, this is part of what it's all about on that highway of holiness. But you know, sometimes people just don't want to take the way of escape. They want to do these things and try these things. And what kind of wonder, well, how can we be stronger so that we will want to take the way of escape? This is for all of us here. And I think a key verse that comes to my attention on the want to part is Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so what does this mean? If you will open up God's word and ponder and meditate, read it every day, you will be spiritually nourished. Psalms 1 says, meditate upon it day and night. We're told to renew ourselves daily. And so these are things that, you know, if we will do this, if we'll treasure God's word in our heart, we will be in a greater spiritual mindset where we will have a little more strength to take that way out. So I think God has told us, you know, it's all about his word. Treasure it in your heart. You will be stronger. Read it every day. Ponder it. Meditate. Let it nourish you. You'll have that strength that you need to overcome those kinds of things. All right, so that kind of shows us all five of those things. And what I'd like to do, just for the remaining couple of minutes we have left over here, is just cover maybe one more thing. Now, does this driver over here look like she's keeping her eyes moving and getting the big picture? She does. She looks like she's kind of spaced out toward me. You know, she's kind of. We have something in driving called highway what? Anybody know? Highway patrol? Well, the highway patrol needs to catch her. Now, this is highway hypnosis. And this is a phenomenon that takes place, especially on interstate roads. Mile after mile, straight road, boring scenery, the hum of the engine, just kind of going and going. Usually not beginning drivers, because they're up there, you know, they're looking. But these are the old people out here who may be more susceptible to highway hypnosis, where they're driving along, and you kind of just get into a dulled-out, trance-like state. All you're doing is pushing that pedal down, or maybe you got the cruise on or something like that, and you kind of start becoming unaware of what's out there. You don't see important things that you need to see. And what happens? Oftentimes people either daydream, they fall asleep, you know, they get off the road, they lose control, and they get into a crash or something. So this is a phenomenon which is a very, very real thing. Now, does this ever happen with Christians? Not on the road, but in another kind of a sense, does this ever happen? Yeah, this happens, okay? Same kind of thing. You know, the preacher might be up there preaching the word of God, and what's starting to happen? Well, you know, glassy eye, hey, are you away from something? And they don't see, they're looking right at you, you think they're paying attention, but, you know, they're kind of unaware of what's coming from the word of God. And as a result, whatever's being preached and proclaimed, things are being missed. Maybe some of that's even going on right now. I don't know. There's a good possibility because it happens from time to time. Now, we all lose our concentration. We all get distracted. Every one of us in here get distracted. I don't think I've ever gone through one entire worship service where I'm singing a song or listening to the message where my mind doesn't at least go a little bit off or a little bit. But you know, you bring it back. You try to get back and focus on things. But what we're talking about over here is what the apostle was trying to get across to the Hebrew Christians. He wanted to get into some of the deeper things, but they had become dull of hearing. It just couldn't penetrate. He couldn't do it. And so certainly this is something, as you're on that highway of holiness, we have to fight. We have to really be sure that while we're, you know, here, we're letting the word of God have its full effect upon us. The implanted word is the only thing that's going to save our soul, or your soul. We've got to let it get in. So when you find yourself drifting off someplace, get back. Read your Bible daily. Well, that's pretty much our lesson for this evening. While we're talking about saving the soul, we know it's the Word of God which is going to do that. So if you're here this evening, we want to extend to you the invitation. If you've never entered the highway of holiness, this is probably a good time for you to do so. What better time would there be now than with friends? me has already believed, and many people have that disposition. I want to turn away from what is wrong, the willingness to confess Christ, and finally to be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of sin. So as we extend this invitation, if there's any amongst us who